Good morning. It's good to be alive and to be a Christian in Jesus Christ. And we give praise and glory and honor to God for blessing us to be alive, to be in our right mind, to be in Christ, to be here again on another Lord's Day, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is truly a blessing. We have so many blessings to be thankful for, physically, spiritually, and economically, in this life. And we need to reflect upon that every time we worship God in spirit and in truth. As usual, when I am called off the bench to come into play in this, and to substitute for Brother Victor, I think about a number of topics to deliver a message on. And I started with this topic and that topic, and I finally ended up with the topic of faith, shield of faith. I wanted to be encouraging on this morning to God's people. Sometimes we have a tendency to always reflect upon the negative. But I thought it would be a great idea this morning to be encouraging to my brothers and sisters in Christ by preaching on a topic of faith. And I've investigated the scriptures and selected a number of scriptures that I believe will emphasize how important faith is. And particularly, as you know, as I think about the topic of faith, I thought it's a good question to ask the believers, are you sure you will go to heaven? Don't answer out loud. Just answer in your mind. Are you sure that you will go to heaven? Think about faith. So with that said, turn in your Bibles. We're going to start investigating the scriptures, several scriptures that will amplify and highlight our thoughts about faith. And before I get too far into the lesson, one of the basic texts that I took my lesson from was coming from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. And in that particular chapter, or in that particular epistle letter to the Ephesian Christians, Paul emphasized that faith was part of the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. So when we are in this life and we're having trials, tribulation, and sickness, we have to think we're in a spiritual battle. And we reflect upon the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Job was tested. He was tested in a manner that we all don't want to be tested. And he had to have faith. And then we talk about Old Testament patriarchs. We talk about Abraham in chapter 3, where Abraham's faith was declared righteous. He was declared righteous by his faith in God. So the lesson, the basis of the lesson was taken from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, when Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Because our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Now, I drop down to verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." This year, I've been tested. My faith has been tested like never before. And you always see the divine hand of God, especially through my wife, through a number of people that have encouraged me through my trial and my tribulation. But what helped me endure and get through the trial and tribulation, I reflected upon, through my faith, I reflected upon how good God had been to me. How he had delivered me a number of times, and he will deliver me and has delivered me through those trials and tribulations. So that's part of that whole armor that we need in order to be successful as Christians, and that we need when we petition God in faith, God, can you help me, God, through this trial, this tribulation? What about our faith? Now, we are human, so we are going to have doubts. Is having doubt not having strong faith? That's a great question. So let's look at the scriptures and see what more the scripture has to give to us to help us and remind us that we're part of our shield, part of our armor to withstand Satan, sin, the world is through our faith. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, the scriptures go on to say, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now remember in chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews outlined all those examples of faith. And that faith was just not, I believe, there was some action. They took God. Now, part of the definition is a backup. Part of the definition of faith is assurance. I'm sure. Trust. And we're talking about spiritual faith in God. Are we sure that God means what he says? That his promises are sure? Do we trust God at his word? That he will deliver us? Now, the greatest trial and temptation for all of us will be on our day of death. What day do you want to have the most faith? On your day of death. We're working on it. It's coming to all of us. Now, in this life, when we think about faith, what can try us the most in this life? Try our faith. Sickness. I used to be Iron Man. Never got sick, not anything extensive. Didn't take medication for a long time. And I got sick. And I relied on that shield of faith. Lord, I know that you will deliver me through this. Your mind tends to wander to the worst. God's people have assurance and peace in Christ through faith. It's very important. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 4. It says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight, that's another lesson for another time, anything that would hinder us, sin, we know what sin, anything contrary to the will of God, opposed to God, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who was for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And when I think about that passage, I think about Jesus before they came to arrest Jesus. He prayed to God how many times? Three times, if my memory serves me correctly, to let this cup pass from me. But key parts of that verse, nevertheless, let thy will be done. So sometimes when the trial, tribulation, sickness, any form of testing, Lord, let it pass from me, but let thy will be done. God may want us to go through. I think God wanted me to go through some things. And boy, I told my wife, I said, I can't imagine. This is unimaginable. You guys are wondering, what was it? But nothing compared to spiritual. It's a long story, but I won't get into the story. The sermon is not about me. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We must constantly and always look to Jesus, no matter what. on our DOD, the day of our departure, is all about Jesus and God. And we are preparing now. So we must look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Also in Hebrews chapter 11, in my lesson text, I wanted to emphasize also that the Bible itself defines faith from a biblical perspective. Now, I made mention to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 begins by saying, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in another translation, it says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for, knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. So I asked that question earlier, are we sure we're going to heaven? How can you be sure you're going to heaven? You got to have that shield of faith. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, through God's power, his might, through Jesus Christ, what God has promised, then that's a big question mark. We have to be sure. Not because of what we've done, if you study Romans, but because of what God has done. Specifically in chapter 3, when he talked about Abraham, how his faith was counted for righteousness. That he was justified in Christ through his faith. That he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. We have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, period. We can't do enough to be saved. We cannot save ourselves. We must take God and Jesus at their word. Okay, let's move on a little bit. We covered Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Hebrews chapter 1. We touched on Hebrews 11 and 1. Now let's get into hearing some of the words of Jesus, our Lord and Master. In Matthew chapter 6, now most of these passages will be taken from Matthew. And these passages help frame our mind and expand our mind as we think about faith in our life. Now in chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Worrying can undermine our faith. Take no thought. Don't worry for your life. Now this is basic stuff, so if we shouldn't worry about eating and drinking in America, we're so blessed we don't have to worry about that. We worry about other things that we shouldn't be worrying about. Material things, worldly things. No. So it says, for your life, which whether you eat or whether you drink nor yet for your body, what you should put on, is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment or clothing? And drop down to verse number 28. Why take ye thought? Don't worry. In verse number 30, he says, O ye of little faith. If we worry, that's a sign of what? Little faith. And we got faith, but little faith. Our faith may be at that point in time. It may be like a roller coaster. That sometimes we're strong and we're high, and then other times we're in the valley. And our faith is little. But he goes on to say in verse 32, all those things that he mentioned, food and drink and clothing up above. But he said, for all these things do Gentiles seek, yet for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And he mentioned needs. Those are needs. If we're worried about stuff that is not a need, we may need to reflect upon that. But he said, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So one thing that can undermine our faith that we must be careful of is worry. That's part of the blessed peace and assurance of being in Christ. I'm not going to worry about it. I prayed about it. One of my things that I do, if I find my mind drifting toward the negative, to worry, I start to pray. Satan don't like that. That's increasing your prayer life. Every time you start to worry, just pray about it. Give it to God and do all you can do. And God will deliver us. And he will deliver us time and time again. And if God does not deliver us, we have to say, God hears my prayer. He wants me to endure this for one reason or another. Remember, Christ prayed how many times? 3 times. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, let your will be done. And sometimes, you know, Christ manned up. He said, I prayed about it. I've asked God to, take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, let thy will be done. Chapter 8 of Matthew, we see the centurion. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I like this attitude. This is the attitude. I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And the servant was healed. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 10, Jesus described this faith as great faith. Lord, you don't even have to come. Just speak the word, and it'll be dealt with. Now, in verse 13, he says unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So we touched on little faith in Matthew 6. Here, Jesus described this faith of the centurion as great faith. Took Jesus at his word. That's what we need to do. God wants us to go through it. This is the best for me. I got to go through it. And Jesus is our example, the author and finisher of our faith. When Jesus was going through it, does the Bible record he was belly aching about it? And Lord, no. He went through it. He endured for our sake, for our forgiveness of sin. So he's the author and finisher of our faith, and we should look unto Jesus as our example. In Matthew chapter 8, one of my favorite passages, and it's one of my favorite passages because it teaches that even if Jesus is in the boat, we're still going to have problems, trials. Jesus had problems. People after him, trying to kill him. Ultimately did kill him. They talked about him. A lot of people didn't believe him. Jesus, the Son of God. So we should reflect upon Jesus. And remember, it said, we have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. So we gotta reframe our attitude of faith, our shield of faith. Now in Matthew chapter 8, when he had entered into a ship, this is Jesus, his disciples follow him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Jesus is asleep in the ship. And the disciples got to be wondering, man, it's getting pretty bad out here. But Jesus is in the ship. Think about it. The waves are turbulent. And disciples came to him, visualize it now, awoke him, saying, Lord, we perish. And look at Jesus' response. He said unto them, why are ye fearful? Why are ye fearful? O ye of what faith? Little faith. So fear, anxiety, doubt. We got to push it out. That undermines our shield. So when we're in the world and we're battling against peer pressure, family pressure, job pressure, economic pressure, Do you have your shield on? Is your shield little? Do we have a strong shield? So he says, "Fearful, O ye of little faith." Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. That calm is coming. But we must keep our shield strong and be patient. The calm is coming. In Matthew chapter 9, the man sick of the palsy, if I pronounced it right, he passed over into another city, and they brought a man to him. They were lying on a bed. And the Bible says in verse number 2, Jesus, seeing their faith, I can see your faith this morning. You are here. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Your neighbor sees your faith. You'd be surprised how much attention neighbors pay to us. Because normally back in time past, I used to ride my bike in the mornings before church and wipe off my car before church. Said, oh, man, he gets up pretty early. And she walked by yesterday and she said, "Oh, you normally clean your car on Sunday morning." I was like, wow, I hadn't done that in a while. You say, why is he saying all that? They know I go to church on Sunday morning. That's the part they see my faith. When you stand up for Christ at work, church, between your family, your friends, you don't have to, be brass and just be unreasonable. They can see your faith by what you say or do not say, what you do or do not do. Here, Jesus, seeing their faith, they had faith. They said, if we get this sick man to Jesus, Jesus can heal him. And the verse goes on to say, and the sick of the palsy son, he said, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. And Jesus healed them. Now, there was some scribes there. They weren't happy. It wouldn't even happen with Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. The woman who had a disease with an issue of blood for 12 years. Verse 22. Now, let's read the full context. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. That's action. She took action. We have to calm ourselves and pray to God, using Jesus as an example. Use the 3 prayer example. God knows. God's going to answer our prayers. It's either a yes or a no or later. And endure. That's tough, but we need to endure it, knowing that God will deliver us. God sees our faith. Let's not have little faith. Let's not be anxious. Let's have strong faith. So this woman said in verse 21, for she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Part of our armor is our faith, and we must make sure our armor is strong. Understanding that we don't have a choice. I mean, you think about being in Christ, the knowledge of the Word of God, that outside of Christ, we have no hope. Without God's Word saving us from ourselves, it's not always Satan all the time. Self gets in the way. We want to blame it on Satan. Oh, it's Satan. No, it's self. Sometimes we want to do what we want to do. We want to do it how we want to do it, when we want to do it. Satan. Sin. Forget Satan. Sin. Sometimes people just want sin. So, well, Satan, well, don't blame it on him all the time. It's self, Satan, well, self, sin, Satan, and the world. We cannot let these things get between us and God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. We must keep our faith, because at the end of the day, in 100 years, we'll all be gone. We'll be gone. I think in 50 years, how old are you, John Lee? He's about, what, 12? No, he's not 12. How old is John Lee? 10? You probably still be here if the Lord allows you to be here. But 100 years, we'll all be gone. And what's going to be so important, our relationship with God and our relationship with Jesus Christ, and forget the world talking about, well, I don't believe that the Bible's inspired. Well, that's you. I believe. I take God at his word. I take Jesus at his word. I know that you can look at creation and know that God exists. We even went out of looking at the Bible, how complex our bodies are. Biology 101. But anyway, I'm digressing. I don't have a watch on, so I don't even have a watch to see. So I won't go too much longer. I don't want to wear out my time. But let's go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. One of my favorite passages when I think about faith and what the Bible reveals that would encourage us not to let our faith be compromised because of trials, tribulation, people, the world changing its mind about the definition of sin, what sin is. God hasn't changed his mind. That's a whole nother lesson, but God hasn't changed his mind. Starting in chapter 3, verse 9, he says, what then, are we better than they? He talked about the Jews and the Gentiles. And he said in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And he goes on, he keeps going on. Then he says in verse number 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all though them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or declared righteous freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody take away your faith. We are justified, declared righteous freely by his grace, God's grace, through Jesus Christ, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or an atoning sacrifice through what? Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. We are righteous by what Jesus has done. Our faith and trust should be in Jesus, as we read the passages in Matthew. And they took Jesus at his word, and Jesus healed them. Jesus will save us if we take Jesus at his word. We cannot be saved without having strong faith. We cannot. So when I asked the question earlier, and I forget how exactly I asked it. Well, are you going to heaven? Yes, God has said. Not because of me, because of God. Yes, I'm going. I remember, before I finish this passage and close out, I remember, is it Joshua and Caleb? In the Old Testament, when Moses sent them out to spy out the land, only two people came back with a good report. They said, if God wants us to have the land, he said that we can take it. Oh, but the people be big. God dealt with the people in a bad way back in that day. Take God at his word. I don't care what obstacle you see. God has said that he would deliver us. He can deliver us from ourselves, from sin, Satan, and the world. Back to verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, atoning sacrifice, through the faith in his blood, what Jesus has done, he died for our sins, to declare his righteousness. We are made righteous or declared righteous in Jesus Christ through our faith for the remission or the forgiveness of sins that are past through forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then is excluded? By what? Law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith, declared righteous in the sight of God by faith in Jesus Christ without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? We are the Gentiles. Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision through faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Now, he goes on as I close out in chapter 4. He says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father has pertaining to the flesh has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. What says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see how important our faith is? We must take God at his word. We must do all we can to be in compliance with his word through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our faith will be counted as righteousness. We will be saved. God has said that. We have peace. We shouldn't worry. We should make our faith stronger and stronger. He goes on to say, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The scriptures are so beautiful. We're just passing through this life. Make sure that you have a strong, you have on the whole armor of God, and part of that armor is faith. Let no one undermine your faith and say, well, you got to be perfect. We cannot be living in sin and practicing sin. We are jeopardizing our salvation if we're practicing sin. But if we are truly trusting in Jesus Christ, faithful to his word, doing all we can to comply with his word, the word of truth, not error, God will save us. Our faith will be counted as righteousness. I don't have one to watch, so, oh, I see it's a little clock down here, 10:50, I'm right on time. So an invitation time. Most of you all are Christians, and you have accepted Jesus Christ. You know God. You know his word, and you know Jesus, how important it is, and how you realize that we're just a passing through. We cannot stay. Hebrews 13:5, the writer said, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So we know we can't stay. So for us as Christians, we have heard the gospel a long time ago. I think it was in 1980 when I was baptized into Christ. Heard the gospel. I believed the gospel. I repented of my sins. I confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. And I was baptized into the body of Christ so many years ago. And it has been a blessed life. So I extend the invitation to anyone that's not in Christ. Give Christ and God an opportunity to change your life. Not just in this life, but for eternity. Because you think about all the evidence that is before us on a daily basis. If you look at the obituary, now I'm getting a little morbid now.
We all are going down that path. We're all going to take that trip. Don't listen to the world. Well, you know, God don't exist. You know, well, you know, you don't have to. The Bible is just a book. Well, you know. Don't listen to it. Or shall I say, you have a choice. We have a choice. Let's listen to the Word of God. Because last I checked, or last I know, no, I don't know anybody coming back from the grave saying it wasn't true. I mean, in America, we have so much insurance, and I'm digressing a little bit. We have health insurance. We have life insurance. We have all kind of insurance. And God has said, I've got the ultimate insurance. Your faith in me and trust and belief and obedience in me will not only save you in this lifetime, but in the lifetime to come. Now, the message is yours. I thank God for another opportunity to preach his word. I thank the elders for the opportunity. And now at this time, as we get ready to sing the song of invitation, for those that have not put on Christ, here's your opportunity. For those that are in Christ, here's your opportunity to refocus your mind on Jesus, on God, and continue to look at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, since I'm not the song leader, I'm waiting for the song leader to come up. Where is the song leader? Come on up. And the lesson is ours, or the message is ours. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.